Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara. I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin. Whoa, got him. Choked him up right off the bat. He's reliving his moments there at Maker Camp. We're doing a Maker Camp recap.
Reliving
and my he's already moments. Choking it up. He's already choking up.
Yeah.
Hi. All right, what do you got for us, Dev?
Happy. Just in my swim shorts, barefooted, wild hair in the red fire, dark, singing, swigging, wine, spitting, jumping, running. That's the way to live, all alone and free in the soft sands of the beach.
Nice.
Done that it's one a classic. Before.
Yeah, you have, but that's okay.
That's a Art of Craftsmanship classic.
Yeah, classic.
That's always, you know, after there's a just fun kind of slightly wild event, I think of something like that.
Yeah, is that on the road?
That is Dharma Bums.
Dharma Bums, okay. Another Kerouac.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't read Dharma Bums, but I actually just finished reading/listening to On the Road.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a classic. You know that Jack Kerouac wrote On the Road in one sitting.
So one sitting or one piece of paper?
Well, it's one. I think it's both. I think it's he just sat down and wrote like straight through. But it's maybe it's not in one sitting, but he wrote it like, yeah, it's one long scroll. So he did, he had these like, I guess, 10-foot long scrolls that he like typed on. And then he would, like when one ran out, he would just like, you know, tape the next one on and just keep typing it. So it's all like written out in one continuous scroll. I think I want to say he did it like all, like he like locked himself away for like, you know, a week and just wrote it all in like one go. Obviously the original manuscript, right? The original edit. Got, you know, edited and whatnot.
Good old Jack.
Yeah. It's a good one. And there's definitely times in the book where you're like, man, this is really all one giant long thought, you know, it's just just like telling the story that just, you know, it rambles on and it's fun though. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we get right into it? This is going to be Maker Camp 2025 recap, rehash, reliving.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We just got back on Monday. It's now Thursday. So I got back on Monday. You got back on Sunday, but, it was a awesome weekend. It's always so much fun. And it like me and Corinne, my daughter, and our friend Sean from Crafting Life, we drove up on Thursday, got there probably around 4:00. So mid afternoon on Thursday. And, because I was doing demonstrations on Friday, midday, and then he was also demonstrating this year. Sean was working with Ryan Cochran from, I think it's Cochran Kayak on Instagram. They were doing the chopstick making demonstrations.
And, it's a busy busy booth.
Yeah, busy booth. Yeah, but they I know last year Ryan was doing it by himself, and Sean really enjoyed doing it, so he kind of hung around and ended up helping him off and on for a few like hours here and there. And then Ryan asked him to join in this year to help him, so they were able to get through a lot more people. And they were also, because there were two of them, they were able to get through more people with less time. So that was kind of good. Yeah. So they were able to like balance out their time at the booth and then also doing other stuff. But
yeah, I'll say there were a lot of people this year who had done stuff in previous years, and just this year we're just hanging out, walking around.
Mm-hmm. I think people...
Hang on.
he's getting choked up again.
Man, I got a cough. I developed a cough, or it continued on, then it got lessened, and then just
and just reactivated. Got now more when you started talking again.
But yeah, so some people that normally do it weren't doing it, and right. Even though there was more vendors, and I think people take some time off here and there.
Yeah.
But I'll say, if you decide not to do bow demos, we should always do the bow shoot. It's relatively easy, and I think we've got it worked out pretty good now.
We can talk about that.
We can talk about some improvements and people we hung out with. But I'm gonna say there was something weird. I'm driving home, and I guess it's not weird. It is, but all the old resort hotels.
Yeah.
It's weird to see them. All these abandoned, kind of themed hotels.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, once were like, you want to think of these places in their heyday.
Yeah.
Like, how did a themed castle hotel with a this and a that and an event center and a pool, you know, there's these huge buildings and these huge things that are just abandoned. They're very weird. It's a little sad to see them.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think, the Catskills had their heyday, like, in the, like, what, 20s, 30s, 40s, like...
Yeah, I'd say all the way up through, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
And maybe slightly like, in the 80s.
Right. Yeah, when people, like, the boom, you know, where people had money to spend, they were going on long vacations, you know, they were spending time in resorts and, like, you know, yearly things. And
there's a lot of New York people who'd go up there, and it's just not the same thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, because now it's very much, like, rural. You know, it's not like a... like a, you know, vacation destination. It is, because the Catskills still are, but they're not in that same way, you know.
Right, and there's probably newer style resorts. Just a style changes.
Yeah, right.
People aren't looking for that type of thing anymore. They want like a clean, more modern resort.
Right, and also, I mean, I don't think people have the money for that type of thing anymore. Not as much as they used to. Yeah. You know, it's like, people might go for, you know, a long weekend or a week here and there, you know, but then, you know, you're choosing like Airbnb and, you know, like.
Right. And maybe it was cheaper at the time in general.
Right.
But so that was interesting. Just seeing that, looking around all the rundown motels.
Yeah.
But it's still a beautiful area. And it does speak to a little bit why Jimmy and. I mean, Austin has a place, but he's like, I want to bring something here.
Right.
Bring an event back.
Yeah.
A big, and they have other events, but just bring another big event thing and bring some love into the town, some cash into the town. And even though we don't really go anywhere other than Maker Camp.
Right.
We're not
We're
not one of the people who have like a outdoor house. I mean, off resort house.
Right. Yeah, like an Airbnb.
Which
somewhere.
Might not be a bad idea one day, but also you can't let loose as much when you're kind of right there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
To, but, you know, you don't have to worry about getting in and out. It's like, hey, we're here, let's just...
Right. And there's enough cool spots there. Like, over the years we've stayed in the same camping area, but there are like a bunch of other camping areas where you can do like RVs, and then there's just like, you know, there's a bunch of different spaces that we haven't really explored because we didn't have a need to. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like the beauty of camping right there, is that you're right there. You know, like, oh, I left my whatever in the car, I'll just walk over and grab it. It takes 2 minutes to walk over and 2 minutes back, you know, or I'll leave my cooler up at camp and I'll just go up and get beers every once in a while and come down with them. You know, it's like, it's super, super convenient. And then we've also built a community there of like people who come back every year, and we have the Goondocks, which is Tim and Kristen, who they actually ended up coming late this year because they had car troubles in the way. So unfortunately they got there late, but you know, they're kind of like this camp host. They have this camp host feeling, and Kristen's like camp mom. And, you know, she just like, they cook for a bunch of people, and everybody kind of usually pitch in money or pitch in ingredients. And like, we have this kind of nice community back there, which, you know, I don't feel like that's taking away from anything. You know, it's like, there's like the food hall, and we could eat at the food hall, but there's kind of it's a nice thing about having kind of a small thing that, you know, it's, but the other thing is like that the space where we have our setup and where we hang out and cook some food and stuff, it's like always welcome to everybody, you know, like Kristen and Tim often like invite more people over, like, we're making a giant pot of chili, come on over, you know, like,
yeah.
So it's very welcoming
of,
place.
I guess if you find your way back there, and if you know, you kind of
right. Yeah, like Annabelle Trades came back with Leah Huff, and then what's his name came back. Andy's Workshop, I think it is, the younger guy. So he came back. You know, it's like there are a few, like a different groups of people who are invited back. Not, you know, it's just, I think it's people that Tim and Kristen talk with and become friends with and be like, hey, come check this out. You know, it's like. There's still people who will kind of roll in and roll out of that, what they call the Goondocks area, you know, and the people that I haven't met. I'm like, oh, another person. Like, it was great, you know, so.
This year, nice. I was a roller in and outer because.
Yeah.
I had a room.
You're a roomie.
I'm a roomie.
Old roomie this year.
It was okay.
It was okay. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, it was nice to, I will say. It's nice not to have to pack up all a bunch of stuff and do all that part. You know, that's always the worst part.
Right, yeah.
Is getting all your stuff set and then dealing with
that. Yeah, unpacking everything.
So it's nice just to bring a normal bag.
Right.
And I did. I brought a pillow and sleeping bag and stuff just in case.
Yeah.
Like the room fell through or something. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Like they do? Oh, and you mean it like fell through as in like you didn't get the room?
Yes, for some reason.
Not you fell through the room?
No. That could have also happened in that building.
Yeah.
But the first night, yeah, the power did go out. So it was it was chilly in there.
Right.
Without... Yeah. If I would have used their blanket, I would have been cold because it wasn't much.
Yeah, and that first night was the coldest night. So, yeah, the weather was pretty good, but it was definitely cold that first night. I think it dropped down into, like, the mid-30s or something. So it was frosty. There was frost on all of my bows and stuff on Saturday morning. You know, because everything that was, like, you know, damp from dew just from overnight all turned to frost, and I didn't see it when it was frost, but I noticed that there was like additional water on my bows. So I was like, that's weird, and then I saw, like, you know, I saw the frost in different areas, like, oh, they all got frost on and then it defrosted.
So it was it's one of the older buildings on the resort. So it's very you saw it. It's kind of very 70s.
Yeah,
They put in there 30 or 40, 50 years ago just stayed.
Right, it's the same thing. They've just been kind of shimming it up and patching it up.
Hanging on. So it was rickety, but it was a room.
Was the bed comfortable?
I went, it was okay.
Yeah. It was a bed. Yeah.
It was big enough. I slept in my sleeping bag, and then, I'm saying, it got cold, but I didn't really notice. Mm-hmm. I just realized at, like, whatever, 5 a.m. that it felt cold in the room, and I looked around, and I realized everything was kind of off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, well. I'm still warm, still cozy. I sleep on the bed. Because I kind of looked in the bed, like, pulled the comforter and sheet up, and it just didn't give me good feelings. I was like, I'm just going to put this right on top.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to keep the good feelings about being here. Good feelings.
Yeah, I'll be fine in this. I know I like this sleep bag.
But it is funny because, like, that wasn't a shock, you know? It was like, it would have been a shock if the room was great. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd have been like, really? You got, like, the one good room. And apparently there's different grades. You know, there's, like, the A grade and the B grade and the C grade and then the camping grade. You know, like, so, like, you know, I think most of the rooms are whatever. You pay more if you want a prime room. But, you know, for all of us grungy makers, it's just, like, hey, it's just a room, you know. And I know you got that because that was Scott's room that he was going to be staying in but then wasn't able to come. Why wasn't he able to come? Do you have something else?
He took his daughter to a college visit.
Okay.
And something else. So he was
nice. Gotcha. Busy. Yeah. So yeah, you got to live the room life. I was just actually listening to Making It 500, which is the 500th episode of the Making It podcast, where they did a live show. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy was talking a little bit about that and how Maker Camp is. It was either that one or episode 501, because I listened to episode 500 and then it auto played me into 501. But he's saying how that's almost one of the it's like a badge of honor, like room off, you know, be like, oh, what does your room have? Oh, mine has the faucet that's hanging off. Oh, really? Okay. Oh, that's it. My room's got like a hole in the wall. Then, mm-hmm. you know, like cold air. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, mine's got a bed, but it's not really a bed. It's got like, you know, it's two couches pushed together or whatever, you know, and mm-hmm. like, so that's kind of like a badge of honor. People are like, you know, what crazy type of room did you get this year?
Yeah. I mean, I will say it was nice to have, and I'd like to do it again, but I'd have to do it soon because all the rooms sell out quick.
Yeah, right.
I don't know
if
it's worth it for those rooms.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and I think I know, Dad mentioned maybe coming next year in their new camper. So if he does, then we'll have a camper that sleeps six, so we could all stay in the camper. It'd be pretty sweet.
We'll all wedge into there and
yeah. keep each other up. Yeah, so that was, yeah, you got to be in a room. Corinne and I were in a tent again, and that first night was very cold, but we had...
Yeah, you fancy pants didn't have your heater this time.
We did not, no, because we had down on the ground, we had our tent, and then we had a fleece blanket, and then we had the air mattress on top of that, so a queen-size air mattress, you know, like 6 inches thick or something. Then we had our sleeping bag and... a quilt under us with the sheet over that to hold it in place. And then we had a top sheet and then two quilts on top of us. So it was definitely plenty warm inside the tent under in all the quilts and blankets and everything. But it's imperative that you have like plenty of layers, plenty, you know. And since it was the two of us, we just shared the one air mattress this year and, you know, utilized body heat as well, which is nice because, you know, just have two people next to each other. You definitely are a lot warmer than just one. So. We were plenty warm, but it was definitely like she went to bed a little bit earlier on, I guess that was Thursday night. Yeah, so Thursday night, she went to bed a little bit earlier than I did. She probably stayed up until about 12:30 or 1 o'clock or something. And then I came in at about 3 o'clock, and her head and her shoulders are kind of uncovered, but she was like huddled. So I covered us both up and jumped in the covers and just covered our heads and everything, and we basically slept under the covers all night, completely covered, because any piece of you that was hanging out was getting cold, but we were plenty warm. That is one thing that happened that I thought was really fun this year, is that Corinne got to experience that like late night stuff, because when she came last year, I think it was a little colder and a little rainier, so she kept going back to the tent early, you know, like around like 8:30 or 9. Yeah. And she would like hang out on her phone, do some stuff, and just go to bed just to stay warm. And so she missed the several hours after that like is when you get into some kind of really cool conversations and you see people hanging out, and like, and it's amazing how fast that time goes, like from, yeah. you know, 8:30 or 9 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the morning, it's like nothing. You know, I've had like a dozen conversations. I've like walked around and maybe forged something, you know, like maybe you jump in Mark Adams' line at, you know, 11:30 and get pictures. And then you're like over to another fire, checking this out and walking around, chatting with people. And before you know it, it's like almost morning again. You're still up. But I think that's like some of the best times at Maker Camp, is just hanging around the fire and chatting with people. We had great conversations around the fire again this year. I talked to a bunch of really cool people, one being a girl named Mary, who you and I think we just walked up in, you know, kind of a drunken haze up to the fire one day and just like stood next to her and introduced ourselves. And she was just standing there, and we ended up standing there with her for like, what, maybe half an hour, like just laughing and talking and introducing ourselves and getting to know her. And she was just like fun. You know, she has a live show, like a live kind of comedy podcasty type thing called, I think it's called, like her Instagram is telling me why it's cool, but is it like show and tell for adults, something like that? Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. And she does, I think she's in Chicago, but apparently she's been to Maker Camp a bunch of years and we just never met her, you know, which is, also is fun, you know?
And I will say also with that, every year that, I mean, when I'm walking around, the majority of the people I kind of, you know, you don't really know. Mm-hmm. There's a huge chunk of people you do know.
Yeah.
But I will say there are so many faces that I don't... I mean, you probably know more just from in general, but there are a lot of people I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's what... I think there were close to 1,000 people or maybe a little over 1,000 this year that bought tickets or were there at the event.
Right, so for sure, the majority are just random people. But
yeah,
that's the thing, right. And you do just run into people you didn't know were going to be there or had talked to before or...
Yeah.
I'm very forgetful, so I notice faces, and then I'm kind of like, I know I've talked to this person.
Yeah, right.
I just can't remember about what necessarily.
Right. And I've had a few conversations like that with people over the years. Sometimes they're like 1 o'clock in the morning when we're all drinking, and then like, you know, then you talk to them again the next day and you're like, you reference something and they don't know what you're talking about. You know, like they remember they hung out with you and had a conversation, but they don't remember all the details because, you know, they might have had more drinks than you had. You know, so, but I think that's kind of fun. I was humbled by how many people made references to the podcast this year. Like a lot of people listen.
Really?
And how cool is that? Yeah. And they're like, especially about the Bose stuff. You know, I had multiple people ask, like, hey, did the Bose come in time? Or like, hey, are you guys ready for the Bose shoot? Did you get the chairs or did you get the bales of hay? You know, like somebody asked, like, did like, you figure out the projector?
We wanted to do. Other than lucking into some chairs and some adjustments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was good. You know, I think that was fun. I was like, huh. And a few people said they, like, you know, started listening to the podcast or, you know, because they'd seen us at Maker Camp and done a video or like that, you know, or heard about someone who was on one and then you know, kind of followed along that way. That was so much fun. I wish I was better with names because I'm the same way. Like, I'm pretty good with names, but, you know, I wish I were better. And it would be fun to just, like, rattle off names, be like, this person, this person, this person, you know. But then when you do that, then, like you said, then you miss somebody or forget somebody and they feel slighted. We don't want to slight anybody.
You make Mary feel good and then everyone else feel bad. I talked to him for half an hour. What the hell?
We talked to a lot of people for half an hour. Was it Green?
Well, here he goes.
Metal Chef Customs. Jake was there with his dad, which is cool. You know, it was fun that his dad came along this year.
Yeah. I made an effort this time to really try to get more time with everyone I wanted to talk to, and I still missed people.
Yeah,
and I was looking through Instagram today, and I saw people. I was like, oh, they were there. I didn't even know. Like, it's very interesting, but I definitely spent more time looking for people. Like, oh, there's. I just want to, you know, walk them. Hey, how you doing?
Nice. And, yeah,
and do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. So, yeah, I think the bow shoot went really well. Some of the changes we put in place, like, yeah, reorienting how we, like, did the line. So it wasn't people waiting in line. They just came up and wrote their name on one of the magnetic whiteboard things, which I unfortunately didn't get back to Matt in time before he left. So, Matt, I know you listen. We'll get them back to you. Or if, you know, send me a message, I can send them back your way. Or I can shoot you some money for them if you want that too. We'll use them again for next year for the magnetic whiteboard stickies.
Oh,
they were all inside the shipping container. And on Sunday night, I was like, I knew Matt was still there in Matt O'Connell. And I was like, oh, I need to grab them and pull them down and, like, you know, give them back to him or put them over on his truck before, you know, before the end of the night, just so I don't forget in the morning. And then once we got up in the morning and packed everything up, he was gone. So
he's probably just like, here, have them. I don't want to bring them back.
I know, right? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna. He probably just took them home last year, took them back to work. And, like,
and we're gonna, or we should just order another 50 because we ran out.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, the adjustment this year was put people's names up as they are going to come up. So I kept going, hey, each person's like 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So you can see where your name is.
That's great.
Do a little math, and then you can come back. You don't have to stay here.
Yeah, and I think there was only maybe once or twice where we, like, called out a name from somebody who wasn't there. You know, I know one time we there was a girl who... She went to shoot, and she came back. She was probably, like, 4 or 5 people after when her name was called. And so she, like, walked up and actually moved her name to the bottom of the list. And we were like, no, don't do that. Don't worry about that. You know, like, it's fine. So we bumped her back to the top and let her shoot.
It's one of those things, if it happens a lot, then you do have to start going through and be like, look, you're the 10th person. There's just a few people here and there. I know it's
right. Yeah,
like I said, you get you're talking to someone, you lose time, or you got other things you want to do, or you. Yeah. Like quicker or slower than you thought, it's all good.
Right, and she understood. Like, she was perfectly willing to just go to the bottom of the line and then try, you know. But, like, yeah, it worked really well. And it made it more of, like, just a gathering site. So everyone was hanging around. We had chairs out. People were sitting down. We brought a big cooler full of beer. And, you know, it was fun. I thought it went really well. And I know I took your advice and I tried to speed up a little bit. So I tried to let people shoot. Like, I'd, you know, give them a bow. You know, like, they'd walk up and you said, just hand some of the bow, just give them the one that you think they should use, you know? Right. So I did that and then let them shoot, you know, give them a pointer. Just like, here's what I want you to do. This is this, you know, like, this is how you knock the arrow. I want you to move, you know, bring this part of your hand back to this part of your face if you can, and then just take a shot. And I'd let them shoot, you know, and if they did it well, I'd be like, all right, great, you know, and then just let them shoot a few more, and then mm-hmm. give them maybe one or two pointers just to help correct a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. People who wanted a little bit more help, I try to be a little bit more helpful, but otherwise, yeah, people who were able to, you know, kind of hit the target or near the target, you know, the first time, I just let them shoot one or two. And then maybe on the third, I give them a pointer. Be like, okay, you know, I see you've missed consistently to the left, so try this, you know, or whatever. You were a little high, so try this. Yeah. So, but I wasn't, yeah, I was definitely not. I think last year I was like coaching them through every shot, you know, so now do this, now do this, now do this. And there were a few people who I did that with, you know, because I knew that they wanted a little bit more and appreciate it, but
yeah,
really, I try to let them go.
And sometimes it's nice just to let the people do it.
Yeah,
just like not overthink it, even though you need certain tips to get it done right. But you know, no one's going to perfect anything in five shots.
Right, so right.
It's exactly. Kind of look, you got pretty good. You go ahead and let a few more loose. See how you like it.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. You know, it's like they do it and like I give them a correction and they correct it and they're like, there you go. You know, and then they'd shoot there a couple more and at the end, like, all right, you know, if you shot 30, 40 more arrows, you might get three really good ones at the end, you know, but like we don't have time for that. So good job, you know. It was fun. Yeah. And I had like, you know, a few new people come up, which like I think Dre from what's it, hers is. Crafts with Dre on Instagram. She came up and she came up, I think, at the end of the first night or during the second day, and was asking if we were shooting yet because she said that she liked the lights like around the thing because we put up like the string lights.
That was another improvement, more light.
Yeah, more light and then just like lights outside too, which kind of brought people over, which was fun. So it's like, oh, nice, they actually worked and brought people in. But yeah, no, it was fun. It was a good time. And, the guy, Mike, so our final shoot off, was Andy Klein, who makes the Turbo Vice, a guy named Mike and a girl named Jess. And, they both had in the upper 20s for their score. Total scores, a total perfect score would have been 30 points, 3 10 point bullseyes. And they had the three highest scores. And, they did the shoot off and Mike won it. And he was super excited. He was like real pumped when he did it. He was like, yeah, all right, nice. He was like super excited and gave me a big hug. And so he won the sheep shear knife this year, so congratulations. But yeah, good dudes. It was another good couple days. The bow demonstrations went well. You know, I mean, there are always a few people come in and they'll have four or five people hanging out asking questions, talking, and then they'll kind of rotate out and rotate back in. So that was fun. It's always good. And I always wish there was a way to like do something a little different with the bow making demonstrations, like, you know, bring a bunch of bows and have a bunch of people sign up and do like an intensive, you know, give them pointers or something. And like, maybe I do, I don't know, like four people at a time, right? I can get four people. I can give them a bunch of pointers. They can use a draw knife and start on a stave, and then they can take it home with them and finish it, you know, but I'd have to get a sponsorship. So anybody's listening and knows of a good person or a good company that could sponsor and could put in a good word for us, that'd be awesome. I'd love to do something that's a little bit more comprehensive, because then I could still answer questions and I could kind of get people started, and then people could work on the bows and stuff, you know. So, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's just not enough time to really do much.
Yeah. Right.
Make as far
it would be hickory bows, right? So I'd basically have them kind of generally shaped out and maybe the first day we mark out, and then, you know, and then rough out with a hatchet, and then, you know, maybe I cut them down with a bandsaw or something to a general shape like Kirk did for us. And then the second day they do, you know, then they're tillering, you know, from then on out and see what they can get. So, but
yeah, but you'd have to spend all day or you'd have
maybe
to
spend a long I mean, time. I think I could still do it as like a few hour, you know, like a 3 hour session on the first day and a 3 hour second on the second day. And then maybe one more hour or something on the third day for something. I don't know. Or not.
I think, yeah, I but I wouldn't. Yeah, it's over, not great. You know, yeah. I feel like you still want time to do what you want and
yeah,
enjoy
absolutely.
Yourself. Like,
yeah,
and I think I was, you're doing your things, and then also the bow shit at night. I think, you know,
yeah,
we can do more, but it's
also fun to do stuff to be it's at also camp fun to as do a stuff and as like, a yeah person who wants to go around and
you know it's
do
just
cool
maybe
things,
it's just a
know?
Demo thing, and if people can chat with you, and if they've
yeah.
hopefully seen the videos and stuff and.
Yeah, and the people that are excited
hey,
about it.
I saw you make one at Bow, and then you can ask some of the questions. Like,
yeah.
And then we all shoot and have a good time. But it was good. Yeah, we had all those chairs there, and the beer, and the lights, and the list, and it really improved it. And also, for me, hang on.
Yeah.
Man, for me, my favorite improvement was making people remember and write down their own score.
Yeah.
That was great. So all I had to go is, hey, and read the name. Well, Mike, what you got? And
either yeah,
I
right.
write it down. They write
I'd be
down,
like, oh, shoot, what was it? And I'm like, I'd tell them, they'd tell. Yeah. Like,
I'd throw their name up there, and it was much better.
Yeah.
But I did have some people definitely say, first night and second, I was sitting around. They're like, man, it would be great. I forget who. A couple people were saying, like, hey, we all should all pitch in so you can buy a TV for next year.
Yeah, right.
And that would be cool.
Yeah,
because
to have it, like,
we could double the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had, what, like 10, 15 chairs?
Yeah.
We could have like 20 or 30.
Right.
And have a 47-inch, 50-inch flat screen. You know, you can get those for a couple $100.
Right, yeah.
And run a direct HDMI line to a camera.
To a camera that's just, yeah, aiming at the target.
And
there,
just
like, aiming
at the target. Then everyone yeah. can follow along. Because you really can't
and keep
see.
Score. And, yeah.
And right. I did, that was another thing. The line, when it was a line, people couldn't, they kind of wrapped around, you couldn't see because everyone's kind of in front of you.
Right, yeah.
So putting those lines of chairs facing each other kind of at the edges of where the
corridor,
where the container
in.
Was,
yeah,
it did
right,
help.
Right.
They could kind of see in.
Oh, nice.
So people
yeah.
could kind of watch.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah, because there was definitely like cheering and stuff from outside, you know, and someone like yeah. usually you'd have at least three or four people kind of paying attention, you know, because depending on the person who's shooting, you know, and they're like, hey, you know, trying to get video and stuff, so.
But
yeah, no, that's a good idea. That'd be fun. Or think, like what we thought originally, you know, use the projector and project it up on the yeah. screen, which could be cool too, you know.
I think doing everything we did this year, plus maybe adding a TV, hanging it over yeah. the edge of that thing.
Right.
And yeah, then yeah. maybe doing an event where we do have some big names.
Right.
Ask some of the big presenters.
Yeah.
Like the people everybody know, like, hey, we're doing this thing.
Right.
We're asking 20 people if they want to do a, you know, celebrity maker shoot or, you know, whatever
right.
it is. And
yeah.
then have that on the,
yeah,
on
the
schedule.
Right. Yeah.
You know, all-star bow shoot, you know, come watch, you know, and
right.
And,
yeah.
And prompt it and have those guys and.
Right.
Because that'd just be fun. That'd make an event. They have a big crowd watching and cheering like that.
Right.
Really cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. But you know, like, depending on how many people that is, you know, is it just like 5 or 6 people? If you get up to 10, how long is that going to take? And what 10 are those people? Like, you don't want to slight people by not choosing them, you know? So it's tough. It's just like, it's this whole thing of like not trying to say people's names because you forget people, you know, like, who do you choose? Right.
Well, I would choose like people who have presented and you know,
yeah. Yeah, people who have been there from the beginning, you know, because there are a handful of people that did, like, the 2019 year. and I think even there was something in 2018, you know. Like, I know that Luke and Priscilla were a big part of pushing Maker Camp early on, and obviously Jimmy and Austin, you know, who runs it, and Pat, you know, Pat Reynolds, I think he's a big, you know, proponent, and then also like Keith from Working Hands Podcast and Lucas Mann, you know, these are the guys who've like been around and also have helped out each year. Like, they're part of like the Maker Camp crew, you know, so maybe it's that, you know, it's like, maybe it's Maker Camp / Blackthorn Resort, you know, like crew members, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like that list of names that I just listed out, you know, that could be an okay group. But then I feel like there are other people that we're going to miss just because we don't know them, you know, so. I like the idea. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know.
Yeah. But yeah, make it like make it an event where people can come and see the
I think the it could be because it's the only competition that everyone can watch. There's nothing like that. Uh-oh. You know, there's no There's no you know, it's fun to have games and things people can watch and root for.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know, timber toss or things that, you know, where it becomes like, oh, here comes, you know, whoever you're, oh, I know that person, or I saw their demo, and have them shoot. Or it could be presenters, the presenter shoot off, you know?
Right, yeah.
And anyone who has presented or is a major part of the thing, they get to go.
Right.
And you can reach out to, you know, whatever, 30 people that we know, and half of them won't want to do it, and then maybe 7 or 8 of them will actually show up and do it.
Right, yeah. No, yeah, I think that's good. I mean, I think there's potential there. We just need to figure out the best way to do it. And like, maybe it's maybe we have a list of, I don't know. Maybe we get a list of like all the presenters that have been there for more than whatever, like for more than 3 years. And then we like spin a wheel or something, you know? And then it's like, okay, you know, it's these, you know, 8 people who, you know, that way it's kind of like a, you know, we'll do like Austin and Jimmy, because they kind of like, the two of them made Maker Camp, you know, like it was Austin's idea and Jimmy helped really push it. And because of that, it's happened, you know, and then we choose a bunch of people and then spin a wheel or something and try to get some guys, but some guys and girls. I like it. I was going to say, for those avid listeners who knew that I was expecting 3 longbows to come in the mail that I ordered for Maker Camp this year, they did come in the mail. They showed up on Tuesday, the day after I got back from Maker Camp, of course. So we'll have 3 bows for next year. It's a 30, a 45, and a 65. So, you know. It'd be kind of fun to have the variety, because most people were shooting the 35 or the 50, right? There was 2. So this just gives a little bit stronger bow for the bigger guys, and a medium bow for the medium guys, and a lighter bow for the lighter guys and women. So the other thing I was kind of giving people pointers on was, like, if you're trying to shoot the 50 and you feel like you can't hold it long enough to aim, well, then just shoot the herd at 35, because like, then you don't have to worry about the weight of it. You can just worry a little bit more about technique and like try to zero in. So that worked too. That was good. So I got those bows and they look pretty good. Like, I, you know, they're just basic, fiberglass, you know, all fiberglass solid bows, end to end, and they have a little rubber hand wrap in the middle. So I might do some fun decoration or something, put some like leather grips on them, and then they'll be ready for Maker Camp for next year.
Nice. Now,
yeah,
I think people will be a little disappointed if they heard you can shoot the real bows and they have to shoot a fiberglass one.
Well, that's unfortunate for them.
You're not going to let anyone shoot the other bows?
I'd rather not, if I can avoid it. you know, if people want to bring their own bows, they could bring and shoot their own bows. But, you know, like just shooting, like, I don't know. I'll shoot the bows, and if they feel really weird, then maybe I won't. But if they just feel like the same as another longbow, I mean, they're just longbows, you know. So it's going to have a little bit different feel because it's fiberglass rather than wood. But if it feels the same, then that's what it is. You know, I'll have like the 100-pounder in there, and I'll have the little Osage bow for kids. And I might have the other ones in there if someone like really, really wants to shoot one of the wooden bows, you know, then like,
I'm sure. What if you did 4 shots with the, well, then you throw.
How about you bring your bow and people can shoot your wooden bow?
But it worked. That's why people liked it so much. It's because they get to shoot a ham. I mean, they'll still like it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you were to have like,
I know what you mean. I know.
Have one shot with a real bow.
I guess. I mean, I don't think, like I said, I'm going to shoot the other bows. If they feel really weird and different, then maybe I'll do that too. But if they feel the same, then I think I'd rather do that. I'd rather not have to worry about it and not have to worry about, like, you know, telling people, like, be really careful, don't draw back. You know, still, I want to tell them how to do it. But, like, you know, I worry about being worried about it, you know, and I don't want to have to worry about that. And I don't want them to break. I don't, you know.
Now, you could do one. I know it's more work, but you could make one if we got a hold of some hickory staves. You could always have one designated, like, oh, this is the maker camp.
Yeah.
35 pounder. I made it for maker camp.
Right, right.
It's not your wife's. It's not Grin's. It's not yours. You know, it's like.
Right.
So then you don't want it to break, but you've made it because you can do it in a few days.
Right.
And have it done. Like, but that's, you still got to get your hands on hickory stave.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how I feel next year. But, like, I've gone to different places, and I've shot bows at different, you know, events and stuff, and I've shot fiberglass bows, and I've shot, like, recurves and long bows, and I don't know, it all feels like shooting a bow. Like, when you're shooting it, you know, it's not a compound bow, when it's an actual, like, long bow or recurve, they all feel the same.
I understand, you know? But definitely, it's cooler to shoot a wooden bow. But I understand you. They're your bows. You don't want them to break. I get.
Right. Right. And but I don't it, think, it is cool. You know. Yeah. No, I know. But I don't think it. I don't know. I don't think it makes a difference in that event. Like, people can still come up. They're still going to line up. They're still going to shoot the bows because it's the bow shoot. It's not, you know, it's not the necessarily, like, come shoot the traditional bows. It's come and do a bow shoot. Shoot a bow, you know. And so I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. And like I said, if someone's really interested, like, hey, I really like, you know, can I try your bow? Can I try the wooden bow? I'm like, sure, why not? I'm there. But, you know.
Well, if we do that all with them, I think we should add something to it where we, instead of just the target, maybe we put a couple targets and have, like, points. So it's more like a, what do you call it? You know, the ones where you shoot the little gun at a fair.
Oh, right.
And you shoot at the weird things, like, hey, there's a bird in the corner, there's the dude here, and there's the thing, there's the guy down here, you know, like a,
gotcha. Yeah.
Kind of a wacky, right. Like, oh, if you want to go for that shot, if you think you can hit that pie plate in the corner, go for it.
Yeah, you can get a bonus point.
That
or something.
That one, the pie plate's worth 10. Right. The dude anywhere other than the head is worth 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog, or no, I wouldn't say dog, that's mean.
Just
some kind of goofy kind of, or the zombie,
the gremlin or something.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you know, right. You kind of do a hay bale man that's kind of funny looking.
I could do a couple orcs, you know, or something.
Right. Some guys in some, like.
Yeah, if I had a bigger printout with, like, different things on it, you know,
that'd
you
be kind of
different things. Yeah,
have a couple of scarecrow dudes.
Right. No, I like that. Yeah. Just make it a little bit more fun. Like,
yeah, then it's have different targets. Hey, hit one of the dudes. Hit one of the guys. If you get his head, it's 10. Anywhere else in the body is 5, or legs are 3.
Right.
And then there's a couple pie plates. If you only go for them, you can, you know, they're 20 or something. You know, something real crazy.
All right. Yeah, it could. Yeah, I like that. Like, it's a little bit morbid to be shooting at a person figure, but if we make it like a, like, you know, shoot at the soldier, you know, or something, you know, like the medieval knight or the Uruk-hai or something, you know, like.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, yeah, we talked about that. We, just in general, I spent a lot of good time with a lot of people up at the fire. The timber frame guys was nice. I spent a bunch of time with them hanging out.
And I really like the way they organized that this year. So in years past, it would always be build one big structure somewhere, right? And it was never like right on the field because that's not where big structures go. Like, they were always along the edges. And you and I helped out the first year with, you know, the whole time, the timber frame. And the second year we did the same a lot, like with the bridge, we did that. And then, you know, over the years helped out a little bit less and less just because of the other things I've been doing. But
and now I just come and drink with them at night. Like, how was it, boys? You look tired. Right. Good job.
But like this year they did a smaller structure, but they did the lean-to. So they made like a timber frame lean-to. Mm-hmm. They built one they prepped one at the timber end and then built it on the first day on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday and Sunday, they cut and built a second one next to it. But both of them were inside the bounds of the, like, the fence, right? So people could come by, and there were more people coming by and cutting notches and stuff. And it turned out great. They did a really good job, and they pushed on till, you know, pretty late Sunday night and got it done while the fireworks were going off. And
brutal.
But no.
It was good. They should have them do a little less or just make another lean-to next year, because I'm sure there's somewhere they can put it. You know, right. They can put it in one of the other camping areas. Just have them do one lean-to.
Right, yeah.
And maybe then it can be for the second day, because they got the lean-to done the first day. Yeah, second day, right. Either let them, all those guys have fun, or have them do little things that they can get done in half the day.
Right, yeah.
Okay, we're doing, like, chairs or benches, you know, something kind of just, something they can be there cutting and hanging out. And
yeah, and they did some of that this year. Like, they had people building sawhorses and stuff, like, if people wanted to help out, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, you know, I mean, I think
it was a
lot of work, but I liked that it was there. Like, you could see it. Like, they were always there. There was always people walking by and, you know, talking to them. And it was more interactive with the groups, which I think was really cool.
It
was a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you should give them half the work.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're all coming and traveling and.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, like, the Timber Inn has become like an event too. Right.
No, so, I know, but it is a lot of people doing a lot of work for no money.
Right. Yeah. So maybe it's that. Maybe
give them half the work. They'll still do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And prep one lean-to and build one lean-to on Friday. And then on Saturday and Sunday, you know, you have like, you build a couple sawhorses.
Right.
Or a couple benches, you know, and that way the guys are only working for a few hours here and there to build these few things.
Right. You
know?
Don't have to go all day and at night. You just go, hey, same as the other guys, we're going to be on from this to this.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure those guys were absolutely beat.
Oh yeah.
Work all week. All weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it, I mean, it's definitely cool. So it was nice hanging. Each and Hyda went up there and had some drinks with those guys at their fire pit.
And then Kryn spent a decent amount of time over there as well, late into the night, hanging out with those guys.
Yeah, hanging out. And then we'd go, you know, go back down and find you and whoever and the fire, and then start talking to whoever, walk around and catch people.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a really good one.
Yeah, we did the beer swap, which was cool. You know, that's good. Mm-hmm. With Mike from Big Bear Custom Metals, he kind of organized that again this year. He organized it with Tim from the Goondocks and then also Graz. And they did it kind of in collaboration a little bit with Total Boat and the Beer Flight things that they were making, which was kind of fun. It's always good. Like, you get a good quality batch of beers. Did I tell you someone stole one of my beers?
What do you mean stole?
So, Saturday night, I had three beers because I drank one on Saturday day. No, sorry. Yes, I drank one on Saturday day when we did the swap. Sunday night, I went to my cooler. I grabbed one out, and I had two more in the cooler. And then, like, 2 hours later, I went back up to the cooler to grab another one, and there was only one left. So someone, opened up the cooler and took one of my beers, took one of the four, and it was like attached to the four pack thing. I was like, oh man, what? So like,
was it Sean? Maybe,
no, it wasn't. So, well, I don't know. Maybe was it
Corinne?
she drank one of the beers. She's like, I'm gonna drink a hard one, 16 ounce for my first beer. Go
all these people are drinking. They won't notice.
But it was like almost because we had the cooler open for everyone to drink out of for the bow shoots, and someone's like, hey, there's that cooler. Opened it up and it full of Natty Bows and a few other beers. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll take one of these.
Maybe.
I hope they were happy. That's as much as I can say. But yeah, but the beer swap was good. It's always fun. And I think they're going to do they'll do a beer swap next year, but I think they're also going to do a whiskey swap or something.
That's supposed to be unofficial.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing that. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'll never. I mean, I get all tore up on beer, so I'm not.
Yeah, I know. Right, exactly.
I was both nights I was done by 12 or 1. I forget what it was. But I mean, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time. I felt like I talked to a lot of people I wanted to talk to.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of good time with people. It was a really good one.
It was. Yeah. Corinne did a really good job this year too. Like I was saying earlier, she stayed up later, but she also was she felt more confident. She was like, it's really cool to walk around and know people's names and talk to people.
Yeah. It helps to know people and have some history with them.
Yeah. I like that she did a few things this year. She did a couple more blacksmithing things, which was fun. Worked with Jason from Dark State Forge and Fernando from Papa Castle to make a belt, which is really cool. That was fun. And then she also worked with Trevor from Dusty Squeak. He worked with her a little bit. And he's like, I want you to come back and forge a leaf. So he was working with her. And it was actually really cool. So Jesse and Carrie Savage were kind of hanging out near us when Corinne was forging. And they were all talking about how Corinne's really natural at it.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, her control is really good and all that. And, it was she was like, they were like, man, this is really impressive. She's doing a really good job. And she's striking really well. And she's, you said she seemed really natural at it. So that was fun. So actually, did you see the little hammer I got for her?
No.
So I think on Sunday I was down looking at the flea market row and I found this cool hammer. And it looked like it was wrought iron because you could see the grain on the side of it. So you could kind of see how it was forged. It was a cross peen hammer. Mm-hmm. So kind of rounded, flattish rounded face on the front one side and then the cross peen on the other side. And it was definitely old and it looked like it was wrought iron. And I actually went to Chris Cash and I was showing him and he was like, well, he's like, it didn't have forged faces. So he's like, it might not be wrought iron. It might just be regular steel, but some steel will just do that. Like you'll get this kind of patina in those patterns. So he and I walked up to the Maribraid tent and he spark tested it. He was like, no, it's throwing sparks. So it's definitely all steel. He's like, and maybe it'll be a shitty hammer. Maybe it'll be a cool hammer. It looks cool. So that's something, So I actually got that. It was a little bit lighter. It was probably closer to 1¾ pound. And, so I kind of utilized some time today and I went over to Tracy from Bastion Head and I used his bandsaw to cut off the handle and then I cut the wedge and I took the handle off, cut a new wedge, draw knifed a wedge out of Osage and put that in and then went up to the went to the Bumble Shoots tent and got some stuff to finish it and then I went down to the Maribraid tent and used their grinders to polish and clean up both faces. So I made Corinne her own blacksmithing hammer. She's got one that's a little bit lighter. So she was pumped. And it was fun to kind of pop into the different tents and utilize all the different skills and chat with people about it. That was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was another great year. I think it was fun. My schedule again was a Friday, two demos on Friday and then two demos on Saturday, which the Friday one always ends up, or it ended up turning into a 3 hour because it was two in a row, two 1 hour demos on either side of an hour. So I just did straight through. And the bow shoots were really nice. I always like being able to do it as much as possible. And this year, both nights, basically everyone who came up and signed up was able to shoot. Like we didn't have to shut it down.
I did have to turn people away though.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. I did. Yeah.
I kept the riffraff away from you, but I did.
Right. Well done.
But that was great. It the first night? Second night definitely because we had already made announcements and we already had people.
Oh,
and
night,
it was we were supposed to be done and we still had seven more people.
Yeah.
And right. I was like, well. No, we really have to do it because, and after that, we have to do the shoot. So then, another five people came up.
Right, right.
I had to be like, nah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just kept going, nah, sorry, but there's free beer over there if you want one.
Make yeah, right. Yeah, if you want to watch it, you can come hang out and watch. Yeah. Yeah. What was the last thing? Last thing I want to say before we wrap it up is it was really fun doing karaoke again this year.
So
you and Hank are in. Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever done it that I can remember.
You've ever done karaoke?
No, I've never. Well, not there. I've done karaoke.
Yeah, right. I was like, oh, I thought you.
And actually, someone gave us some love the day after.
Oh, really?
Actually, it was me and Corinne were walking. And he was like, "Oh, you guys tore it up last night on karaoke."
Nice. That's like, awesome. Nice. Thanks. Yeah, we did California Dreaming, which is great because they're like, "What do we do with three of us all at once?" And we're like, "I don't know what we do." I was like, "Yeah, what about the mamas and the papas?" You know, although that's four of them, but it was like, you know, multiple voices, and
you could do like harmonies. And Corinne was real good on the harmonies, the backing harmonies when we were singing them, and you were doing the lead, and that was. I think we hit it pretty good.
Yeah, it's fun. And that's a good one because, like, people sing along. Everyone knows that song, you know. Mm-hmm. They're the best. And that was fun, too. Like, a lot of people did really good ones this year. And I think this year people hung around for it a little more. And everyone was kind of, like, you know, enjoying it and singing along and stuff. And then years past, it's always happened. But I think this year was a good one specifically. So it was fun.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Maker Swap, what'd you get?
So I got a wooden knife block, like a magnetic knife block. So it's like this really nice piece of I can't think of the name of the wood. It's like a kind of blondie type wood with like kind of a cool burly crack thing through the middle that's been filled with epoxy, but not like in a gaudy way, just like kind of in a nice filled way. So it's mostly dark. It looks like a piece of wood, and it's like a 3/4 inch thick piece of wood standing vertically on another kind of live edge piece on the bottom, and it's dovetailed into it, so it slides in the long way, a full dovetail all the way across, so it's kind of, it's standing up on its own freestanding with a base.
Nice.
And I was looking at it, and it's like magnetic knife block, and I'm like, there's no magnets, there's nothing. I'm like, how is this a magnetic knife block? Like, how is it magnet? Where are the magnets? Is it, and Sean and I were looking at it, we're like, is it inside the epoxy? Like in the crack, you know, the burl thing in the middle. And we're like looking in, and for a while I didn't really know. And then I was looking at it a little closer, and I could see this like hairline, you know, thin glue line or like close to the face of one side and all the way around. And so then when I looked a little closer, I saw that there was like a cut line there, you know, and that they like cut it and then, you know, put magnets inside, glued it all back together, and probably then planed it down so it's thin on that one side. But it's like a perfect matchup, super hard to tell. So it's nice. And it's from a the guy's name is I think it's Ray Higgins, and it's like Red Fox Higgins. But he doesn't have an Instagram, and the bottom of it had a stamp, and it was HH. And there's a lake. It's Lake George. It says like Lake George, New York. So it's like the two H's with big serifs, you know, and then Lake George in the middle, and it says Lake George, New York inside of a circle. And I couldn't find that logo online, and I couldn't, and he didn't have an Instagram, so I'll have to like try to reach out, send him an email or something and get a hold of him. But
did he just buy it and
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine not, but maybe. I don't know. It's nice, though, because I don't have, like, I always used to hang up my knives on a knife on a magnetic strip, but I don't really have a good spot for a magnetic strip now, so I will have a good spot for this knife block once we get the pantry set and move the coffee maker in there, then I'll have a nice spot on our counter, so.
Oh, cool.
It's nice. I'm happy with it. It's a really, really pretty, really well done, and, like, it's, like, a really high-end, you know, cut and re-seam job. It's really nicely done. Really beautiful piece of wood. So
yeah, it was the projects were real high grade this year.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So if you're thinking of doing next year, everybody, make sure you really step up your game.
And actually, so when we were all standing around afterward. Everyone's bringing their stuff out and we're all talking about it. And, you know, people were coming up and be like, hey, that's what I made, you know, doing that whole thing. I was like looking around, like, where's the guy who got my hammer? And then eventually someone told me, I forget who it was, but one of the friends that we hang out with at Maker Camp, was like, oh yeah, you know, I saw someone come out with your hammer earlier. It was like, you know, a guy came out with it, but I don't see him around. I was like looking, I'm trying to find this person. And then they like, the MakerSwap folks did like a drone shot of everybody holding their stuff up at the end. And I couldn't find the person who got my hammer. So I'm like, oh, well, I guess that's it. Like, I guess I just don't know. So I actually posted, like, I took pictures of the hammer beforehand, and then I posted some pictures of them. And, you know, on the post was like, hey, if you got this, you know, item, let me know, you know, like, I'd like to know, I'd like to get maybe a picture of you with it or something for the end of our video. And, didn't hear anything back. And then when I was at school on Monday, during one of my first breaks, I saw that I'd missed a call, and it was from a gentleman named Kurt Gerlitz. And he called and left a message. He was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't read the card that you had written on, you know, the tag until I got home. Cause he's like, he lives nearby, but he's actually, I called and talked to him later, but he said he, like, you know, I don't know if he was doing something, and so he kind of popped over to the Maker Swap to get his swap item and then go back and do what he was doing. But he said he basically just took the hammer and, like, he went to his truck and put it in his truck to keep it safe, and then went and did off what he was doing, and then didn't see the note until he got home. So he called me, and he was super sweet about it, really apologetic. He was like, you know, he was like, if you live nearby, I could come by, I'd happy to do an interview, da, da, da. But yeah, so we chatted a little bit, and he said he hasn't done a ton of blacksmithing, but he's been really excited about it. And he did some blacksmithing over the weekend. He's like in his 70s, and he's like, I want to do some blacksmithing before it's too late, before I can do, you know, before I can't swing a hammer anymore. So I was giving him some advice of, like, if you want to get started, what to get, you know, what type of small anvil and what type of, you know, small forge, da, 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 stuff like that. So it was sweet. And he said he'll get some pictures of him holding it and stuff, and then they'll send them to us so we can include them in the video at the end. So it was good.
Cool.
Very happy. He was very impressed. He's like, this thing is crazy beautiful. So I was happy that someone got it who would appreciate it, and hopefully we'll put it to use. So that's good stuff. Yeah. And then, yeah, so I know you shot a bunch of footage when we were at Maker Camp. So, and we got the outro and some footage of the hammer and stuff. So that'll all work its way into the end of the hammer video. So everyone who's listening and who knew about the hammer build and has kind of been following along, you'll be able to see a little bit of Maker Camp at the end of the video. Cause I think that's kind of the focus will be, like, you know, the Maker Swap. So
yeah,
it's cool. All right. My recommendation this week is Chop with Chris. So Chop with Chris is a YouTube channel, and Chris does a lot of stuff with, you know, hand tools, and trying to, his whole thing is, like, electricity is overrated, you know, so he's like trying to do a lot of stuff without electricity. So he's been at Maker Camp for the last 2 years, and both years he's been doing demos on his foot treadle lathe. So he's got a lathe that's a foot powered treadle, and it was awesome. So this year his wife was there with him, Mary, and you know, they introduced themselves the first day because they're right in the same tent right across from us at the bow making demo stuff. And we were chatting, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm doing mixed drinks this year. So he had, like, made a blender that he, like, took apart a blender and rebuilt it so that way it worked with his foot treadle lathe. So
oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, so he was doing, like, the foot treadle demos throughout the day, and then at 4 o'clock each day he'd do a happy hour. So he was, like, doing strawberry daiquiris and margaritas and stuff, and then smoothies and stuff for the kids. But you could go up, and both times, both nights, his wife, like, came over to me and was like, hey, we're about to do it. Like, you know, you want to come over and get a drink? Like, she was super sweet about it. She's like, I got you. I know you said you like margaritas, so I'll do your... And then, yeah, so it was cool. But Chris does some really cool stuff with hand tools on his channel, and has been doing it for a long time. It's a great YouTube channel. I've known about him for a long time. So I was pumped when he was going to be there last year, and it was great to see him again. And, you know, he remembered us and was happy to see
him again. His wife, cool. I gave... what knowledge I had to her. She was asking about bows, so I was your second. Yeah. That was the only person I talked to about. Maybe one more person. Right. But she was, like, asking me about it, so I knew enough to
keep the general conversation going.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I heard her over there talking to you, but I didn't know exactly. I heard you mentioning some of the bow stuff, right? But I didn't, didn't hear exactly what it was, but yeah, that was fun.
Good people.
Yeah. It was great.
I want to shout out, Dusty Squeak, Trevor, just because he's another Maryland guy and he gave me, one of the Old Bay holders and actually Old Bay in it. So,
oh, nice.
So he gave me one of the 3D printed Old Bay holders that he
Old makes. Bay holsters, yeah, with the little holsters,
and I had
like 4 ounce can of
Old Bay. I actually get to use it. That is the one thing about leaving early Sunday. I don't get to do the barbecue and stuff. How was the barbecue?
Yeah. Good? Oh, it was great. Yeah, really good again this year. Yeah, so that's Chris from Green Money Fab and Will Shear. They're the ones who do it, and they always use Chris's big smokers and do all the planning. And yeah, Chris said this year he, like, in past years they always end up like working all day Saturday and all day Sunday, like prepping everything and then cooking.
He had the day off.
He did, yeah. So he really spent a decent amount of time on Friday getting everything prepped and ready, and then kind of had the day off Sunday or Saturday, and then all he had to do was get everything cooking and ready and going on Sunday, and they killed it. It's awesome every year. And they actually, this year they had like a split line. So you walk up and then it just like split into two. And so they had it like, it moved pretty quickly. It was really nice. So it was great. Another awesome year. And the ribs were super good again, but the chicken was like, so, it was, oh my gosh. It was like the best chicken I've ever had. It was so good. Oh, really? Every year. Top notch. It was another awesome year in the books. And so sweet, like all the people who come out and do stuff and all the people who do demos and the people who come just to like enjoy it, and everyone knows everybody and keep people call you out and they're excited to see you, and it's like, it's just so humbling and heartwarming and friendly, and you know, like, I don't know, it's great. It's awesome. Such a good place. If you ever get a chance, if you've never gone to Maker Camp and you get the chance, or if you're thinking about, you know, you want to try to do a Maker event, like, come to Maker Camp, you know, camp or get a hotel. You know, you got to stay at least one night if you're not going to stay for the whole weekend, and, you know, experience the nightlife. And like, people explain it as it's the Woodstock of Maker conferences, you know? So it's like, because it's not just informational. It's not just talks. It's not just in a building and, you know, like booths and demos. It's a little bit of everything, and everything's open, and all these tents that are open and people walking around, there's music going all the time. And that was the other fun thing. I forgot to mention that for our bow shoot, you did this last year and this year as well. You had like, we had fun, dramatic, like, thematic bow music going the whole time. And so there was like a few times where someone was about to shoot and they would be like, dun, 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 you know, get super dramatic. And that was fun. But yeah, no, just the whole experience of Maker Camp is so much fun. And we talk about it a lot off and on over the years. But you know, if you've never done it, or if you want a little bit more experience, or if you want to experience what it is, we've got a couple good videos on our channel. So you can always head over to, our YouTube channel, The Art of Craftsmanship. You can check out the videos there. We have Maker Camp videos, I think, from all the years that Devin went. We missed the first year that I did bow demos because he wasn't there, so we didn't get a video of it. But yeah, we've got a couple Maker Camp videos over the years, and we'll have another one this year. So you can keep your eye out for that and check out our newest video of making the hammer for the Maker Swap. And then also, like, you know, we're also posting a lot of stuff, and tons of people are posting stuff about Maker Camp. So if you're interested and you want to check it out and you haven't been there, or you don't follow the people who go, you can go to Instagram and just search the tag Maker Camp 2025, or even search for the Maker Camp page. So it's just the Maker Camp. And that's Austin's page. And he just does a great job of getting everybody excited about it and shouting people out, and, you know, you can see what's happening there. Yeah, and you can follow me at The Art of Craftsmanship. I put some stuff up, and you can follow Devin at The Art of Camera Guy. He puts stuff up, and you can kind of see what's happening behind the scenes. And then if you want to support us here on the channel and for what we do on the podcast and the channel, you can go to patreon.com/TheArtOfCraftsmanship, and you can support us there. One last thing. I was listening to the Making It 500 podcast, which is their live podcast.
Right.
And at the end of the podcast, they had a bunch of questions prepared that people had asked, and they opened it up to the crowd. I was like, hey, does anybody have any questions? And there was one guy who, he didn't have a question, but he was like, all right. They always say on the podcast, they really appreciate what the patrons do, because it makes it reasonable that they continue to do the podcast because of the patrons who support them. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, everyone who's a patron out here in the crowd, please stand up. And like, by the applause and by the like, the shock and all that you heard voiced from Bob, Dave, and Jimmy, it's not like there was a lot of people there. Like, a lot of people in the crowd were patrons. Mm. And the guy who was making the comments, his name was Jacob, and he said, I just want to thank you all, because it's because of you all that they keep bringing this show back, right? That we keep, and it keeps inspiring the guy, Jacob. Like, I don't think he was a patron, but he's like, it's because of all the patrons that they do it, and it's because of all you that I get to hear it, and it's changed my life. And he like started to get choked up a little bit, and it was super sweet. So, you know, there's that sentiment like, there.
And then they're like, all right, now your turn to pitch in.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. but it was sweet that he brought that to their attention, you know, that it really is like the people who support these channels and you know, people who support podcasts and stuff that keep it going for everyone else. So for those of you who do support it, we really, really appreciate it. And for those of you who are enjoying it for free, you know, we shout out and we appreciate the patrons, because they do help us put back into the channel and make good stuff for everybody else. And it's free for everyone. That's the great thing about it. So, but if you're passionate about it and you feel like you want to support us, that's where you can find it. That's it. All right, Maker Camp 2025 in the books. Everybody who was there, it was awesome seeing you all. Everyone who I talked to and we made impressions on, and people who put extra effort in, it's always very, very much appreciated. Devin and I love going, and now Corinne loves going. And we go back, and I forget who it was, but someone saw me when we got there on Friday or Thursday, and he said, hey, welcome home. And I thought that was sweet. I was like, yeah, right on, you know, like, Maker Camp. This is our, like, make your home away from home. So,
yeah.
It was cool. All righty. Devin, pleasure, man.
All right, brother.
Everybody else, thank you guys all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.